Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Joined by Kajana Carter in a few moments. Our thanks to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And also Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle. That's how our opening hour went. This hour, Kajana Carter. And then it's time to pick some games with my brother. Some ground has been made up. Time now for the play-by-play call of the day.
Foley to snap, Juergens to hold. Allman to kick. 15 seconds left. The kick is blocked.
It may have been my broadcast partner. I don't know. All right, so Boise State won last night and stays undefeated. This will also lead to our bozo of the day at the bottom of the hour. I think you know what I mean, Sean. Maybe you don't.
Not sure.
Look up where Brigham Young tried to punt last night.
Okay. Oh, okay. I did see that. Yes.
Really? All right. One of the true greats in Penn State history, in the Pantheon, without question, he was the first overall pick in the NFL draft. He grew up in a Columbus suburb of Westerville, Ohio, but then chose Penn State. And when he got to Penn State, he was dynamic. We are welcomed. We now take a moment and welcome in Kajana Carter. Key, how have you been?
What's going on, Steve, man? I'm doing good. Yourself?
Yeah, doing really well. How do you like the media thing, by the way?
You know, I'm getting used to it, man. It's been a while since I've been in front of the camera. A long while, matter of fact. And
the camera still loves you, though.
I appreciate it. It just kind of gets me back into the game. Getting to watch football from another perspective. Instead of being an armchair quarterback, now I get to talk about X's and O's, so I'm enjoying it.
When you grow in any job, where do you feel like you're growing in this job and feel far more comfortable?
I would say probably the very first time we did it, you know, when you're on TV, you have an earpiece in your ear,
yeah.
And sometimes you hear the producers telling you, you know, how long you have left of a certain segment or a certain time constraint, and it just took me a little while to ignore that, you know, and get used to hearing that in your ear because, you know, a lot of times you want to hear that and you want to focus on what they're saying instead of paying attention to what's going on during the show.
But it also keeps you away from here too often because that's one of the great things over the years of having you hang around here a lot. What's it been like for you when you've been back on campus and now you've seen how the last couple of weeks have played out? Are you starting to get a little sense of excitement about this place?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's tough. I mean, no, for the last, no, ever since, no, probably the last 4 or 5 years, is I'm not used to us losing as much as we have. And I know it's going to take some time, but at the same time, it's like, you know what, how long will it take? So in the sense, I see some progress happening with the team, young group, really with Saquon Barkley and McStory, the quarterback. We got a young, talented group, good receivers. And now just hoping that, you know, we're so used to being known for defenses, and right now we're not, you know, holding that end of the bargain. So hopefully we could get that tightened up sooner than later.
Out of Westerville, Ohio,
yep.
So what was it that said, you know what, Penn State's the choice for Kajana Carter?
I say like five reasons. Well, one, being from Westville, which is a suburb of Columbus, I wanted to be close enough to home that my mom could see me play, because on Friday nights she had to work,
right.
And she promised me that on Saturday she would come see me play. Number two was Coach Paterno, just the person that he was, how he carried himself, how he carried the program, what the program meant to be a student athlete, you know, not only going to being good on the football field, but, you know, we had a great graduation rate. And I would say another thing was I wanted to be able to play in the Rose Bowl if possible. Once again, being from Columbus, you know, back then it wasn't no BCS championships. It wasn't, you know, all these, you know, a Big Ten team to go play in the Orange Bowl. You know, you were slated to play in the Rose Bowl. And to me, like I said, it was the granddaddy of them all. So yeah. I wanted to be able to do that. And then I'd say the last bit was just the environment of State College. You know, I had a more of a small town mentality. Big cities wasn't – I'm a city guy, but I didn't want to go to school in a big city because there would be a lot of distractions and a lot of care, you know, a lot of things that, let's say, the student population can, you know, get involved with, meaning like if you're, you know, at Penn State, you know, when it's a weekend, everybody stays there. Or if it's game day, the whole state basically comes to the town, where if you're in a big city, you give a lot of other people other options to do. So a lot of times the loyalty of the fan base is not – as such as a, you know, a small town like ours.
Yeah, by the way, the Rose Bowl took you one play to make an impact. So
you still remember that, huh?
Oh, like it was yesterday. I was up in the box, and when you took off, I started to laugh. I thought, I've seen this all year.
That year was special. We spoiled a lot of people that year.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
We talk about it. Key about being, it's not just a 4 or 5 year decision. In your case, you were here for 4 years. Yeah. It's a 40 or 50 year decision. Do you feel,
absolutely,
looking back that this 40 or 50 year decision you made was the right one to set you up for the next 40 or 50?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm halfway to the 40. No,
yeah.
I can't believe it's been 20 years since I've been there. But no, I'm totally happy with what I did. No, with relations that I've met, no, great people that I met while I was at school, after school. After I got out of school, I'm sorry. You know, the loyalty of the program. Penn State's a unique place because the student body and athletic department really meshes in really, really well and really tight. So you really see that a lot, especially when you're out and about and you're walking around and, you know, people saying hello. And there's no arrogance saying, yeah, I know I'm a Penn State football player. No, it's like, we are Penn State, just like the slogan. It's like, I'm no better than you, mm-hmm. and we're both sitting here and a chair rooting our team on. So I definitely have no regrets for going there.
All right, let's get it from somebody who knows better than anybody. You look at Saquon Barkley. What are attributes that he brings to the table that another running back really appreciates?
You know, I mean, right now, unfortunately, I mean, you know, he's really helping out McSorley because he's such a young quarterback. Every team is keen on him. They know that he is the bell cow that makes that offense run. They're not able to stop him. You know, he has a unique candy of determination, and he's able to break tackles very easy. He's really put together, really solidly built for being so young, great balance. And then, you know, like you see the last couple of games, though, he's having some explosiveness. So, you know, with him, I'm very happy for him. He sounds like he's a humble kid, only want to work hard, and he's all about the team. And unlike when I was there, now I was blessed to have a, you know, great quarterback of Carey, great receiver in Bobby Engram, and, you know, Freddie Scott and Joe Jurevicius, and then a great tight end Kyle Brady, and a great line. So a lot of times, if you try to shut our running game down, Carey's going to light you up, throwing the ball. And then same time, if you try to, you know, back off and try to stop the pass, then, you know, me and Mike Archie and Stephen Pitts are going to burn you with the run. So with him right now, no, our receivers are – we have real good receivers, but just, you know, with McSorley being so young, he doesn't really have a grasp of the offense yet, so everything's keyed on him, and he's still being successful as that may be. So I'm very, very impressed and happy for him, and just hopefully, you know, everything works out for him, and he's going to be one of the greats in our history.
Well, you're already there, and one of the things that you did when you were here in terms of your development – was you really became a really good blocker. Mm-hmm. And, of course, to play for Joe, you had to block. I mean, it doesn't matter. Hey, you know, Key, you're going to get the ball 20 times, 25 times. Still had the block. How tough was that for you going from high school, where you probably didn't have to block a lot, to college where it was expected that you would?
You know, and then one thing I was going to mention about Saquon, too, is he's been doing a great job pass protecting.
Yes.
Because offensive scheme is a lot different than when we were I formation team. And now probably 85 to 90% of our offense now is through shotgun. But though, when it comes to the pass blocking, it's a little different. Though, out of high school, I was 215, 220. So for the most part, our D linemen were 230, 240. You might have a 250 pounder. The linebackers are a lot smaller than me, weight wise. So it's a big difference when you're coming up to guys who are 230, 240, and you got to block them. But it really takes. You want to master your craft. And with me, I knew, like you said, with Coach Returner, if you want to play, not only you're going to be able to run the ball, but you know, them times where you got to be in there on the pass protection. If I want to be in every play, I got to learn how to pass block. So, you know, Coach Ganner, who was our running back coach back then, you know, did a great job with us and doing some drills. It wasn't fun. Nobody likes it. But at the same time, you know, made me a better player and really carried me over into the pro ranks with that.
No question. It was expected. You had to do it. And that was going to be my point about Barkley, because I think it's the area where he's made his greatest stride. I think he's become a much better blocker. And there are times where he's got to throw blocks for McSorley in this thing. So,
oh, absolutely. And then, like I said, with this offense, it's so much different. You don't know who's going to have the ball. Is McSorley going to run? Is he going to throw? But I've been very, very impressed with him, because that's really hard. That's really rare to see, not say hard, it's really rare to see that a back in his only his second year in college to be able to pick up pass blocking and really run blocking like he has. And I know that's not going to get ignored when he gets to the next level.
They didn't have whiteouts when you played at Beaver Stadium.
Because we blew out everybody. Everybody already left.
Let's see. USC was 35-0 at halftime. USC, okay? Not Cal Santa Barbara. USC. Iowa was 35-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
Michigan State was, I don't know, what was that, 35-3 at halftime? Some number.
Ohio
like
State
that.
Was 35-7.
35-7.
Who else we had? Rutgers was a blowout. Northwestern was a blowout.
Yeah.
You guys got spoiled that year, man, at home.
Yeah. But you didn't have whiteouts back then.
No.
But still, what was it like when you came into Beaver Stadium and you get through the tunnel and you see those people? What did that do for you as a football player?
I mean, you just say the white and I got me goosebumps right now. I mean, a lot of people say, like, you know, what is like the most spectacular pregame intro there is. No, you got granted Ohio State does a great job with doing a big gong and things like that, but a whiteout in our stadium when it's at night game and it's a big game, I've never seen anything like it. I remember the year, I think it was 2011 when, I think that's when Tom Ali was there and we were playing Ohio State, and I think that was like our first official whiteout, and I walked out through the tunnel and I really had my eyes watering. I was like, I had so much adrenaline and so much energy, and I just couldn't believe it. And I had one of my teammates that I played with in New Orleans, he played at UCLA. He told me, he said, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. So, you know, any time to go out of any college game, but obviously, you know, with State College, you know, being how special it is and, you know, how we pack in 110. We need to get back to 110. It hasn't been 110 lately. But, you know, with all those fans going nuts, that whiteout is something special.
Well, so are you. You know, I think the world of you, Key. It's great to have you back on with us, and great to hear that voice on the other end.
I appreciate it, Steve, man. Thanks. Good talking to you, and let's get this W on Saturday. Shock the world.
You got it. Thanks, Kajana.
All right, no problem.
Kajana Carter. We'll come back with more in a moment. The suit will break down the... No, he won't. More in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, great to have you with us. You may have noticed that Robbie Gould is back in the NFL. He is with the New York Giants now. And this is all because of the Josh Brown situation. Josh Brown is no longer going to be the kicker for the Giants. For one thing, they removed him from going to London. Gould went there instead. And then they decided they put him on the Was it the exempt list? I'm trying to see what list they put him on.
Yes, that information just popped in within the last hour or so.
Yeah, they say he's going to face a lengthy suspension. Now, the NFL had requested documentation from the King County Sheriff's Office in Washington State. And the King County Sheriff, John Urquhart, today was interviewed on KIRO in Seattle. He said, well, for one thing, they never identified who they were with. He said they didn't say the NFL, the National Football League. He said they didn't say even Comcast Sportsnet. And his quote was, we didn't know who the yokel was. That was his quote. Really? And again, if that is true, all right, I mean, the NFL has to make certain decisions about Brown. But in terms of their own investigative unit, again, it just shows that they're just so out of touch.
Well, they didn't have a choice on this. They had to step in for sure.
I understand that. I'm talking about their investigative unit.
Yeah.
Their investigative unit's what I'm talking about, where, look, tell them who you are and what you do and what you're looking into. Just be forward. And evidently, according to him, he says, we didn't know who he was. He gave us his name. He says, well, we're not going to give you information. Just give us your name. And again, the NFL kept saying, oh, no, you know, we told them. He says they never told them. Now, you're right. They did what they had to do.
Yeah, the commissioners accept the exempt list. If it sounds familiar, that really came into play a couple of years ago when the whole Adrian Peterson switchblade situation came up.
Right. And on this show, before they did it, I said they needed to put him on that list. I said that 2 weeks before they did it. We'd still get paid, but it would allow them time to investigate it. Some days you wonder about the league. But this one they had to do something about. Robbie Gould, by the way. And in fact, you know, the NFL is made aware, by the way, of more problems, you know, from Molly Brown. League officials are adamant that at the time of their initial ruling that they have what they deem to be credible evidence of domestic incident, only that an incident occurred between Brown and his now ex-wife, Molly, when he grabbed a phone out of her hands. The journals released this week detail what appears to be serial domestic abuse. The NFL was aware that Molly Brown had also called security during the Pro Bowl in 2016 and was moved to a new room after claiming her husband had been banging on the door and yelling, but league sources says Brown was not present when the security officials arrived, and there was not much information available regarding that situation beyond the complaint. Now, you're right. I mean, they had to do something about this. That's I'm talking about their investigative unit. Like, they call up, and they don't identify who they're with, what they're doing, why. What's the sheriff supposed to do? Like, this is Sean Kerry calling. Where are you from? This is Sean Kerry calling. Like this guy, I think Agnew's the guy's name. Like, that's supposed to, like, carry some weight? He could be on the, get out of here. Who are you and what are you doing? Show some identification. So the Giants, they put him on the list, and that's where he should be, obviously. Because, I mean, no form of violence can be tolerated. And the domestic violence case, I mean, he's going to get a lengthy suspension out of this. I mean, one would think that there is a shot that his career is done. So Robbie Gould is now the kicker for the New York Giants. So, but you're absolutely right. They had no choice here, right? No choice.
Brown was due $1.15 million. At this point, he's still able to collect that money, and he may appeal the decision. But you've got a long list of some stuff you shouldn't be doing, so I think appealing could be a waste of time.
Exactly.
Track record, not good.
Yeah, no woman should ever have to endure 1 second of it, let alone Cyril abuse.
What was the number I read last night? We posted an Associated Press story on our SteveJonesShow.com page last night. Got a link on our Facebook, too. I think a number was 20, at least 20 different incidents. How long?
Disgraceful.
How long does it take to step in? It's like, ah, nah, you're not playing.
Yeah, but if they don't know about it. I mean, when did the Giants in the league find out in its entirety about it? Was it early on? See, I don't know enough about the case to know how early they found out about it. That's my question. It's a question I can't answer. I don't know the answer to it. Well, 1 second of potential abuse to a woman or a child is 1 second too long.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Get ready for that tailgate at Bucknell tomorrow. Get ready for that tailgate at Penn State for tomorrow night's game. Should be a finely tuned crowd for a night game. Water, soft drinks, wine coolers, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's go back quickly now to our sports bozo of the day, and that's the decision for BYU punting from their own end zone on 4th down and 14 to run a fake punt. Really? Now, admittedly, that's a surprise call. Oh, yes, that's a big surprise call. But it wasn't 4th and 1. It was 4th and 14.
I first found it on Twitter last night. I'm thinking, no, this is, you know, I got to have my Twitter filter on to make sure what's legit and not. And it's like, wait, that did happen.
Yes. I'm sitting there, and like, what in the heck is... Who made that decision? Now, you can tell who made the decision as to which person did not make the plane trip back from Boise to Provo. That could be the hint. Wow. It's gutsy. I'll say that for him. It's gutsy. Not... reeking of high intelligence.
I would not expect a play like that to get, you know, get by Chris Peterson. It's like, what happened?
It's just bad. And Bob Beeler, the former Bucknell play-by-play guy who now calls Boise State, the guy that called that play.
Take that back. Chris Peterson no longer at Boise State. Yes. He's now at Washington.
I let it slide by.
That was so 5 years ago. Slide.
I was not going to correct you on that. You know?
I deserved it.
No, I'm not going to do that to you. It's not good. Just figure I'd just let it slide.
Nah, I got to bring my game up. Got to get my picks going here, too.
Yeah, so we should have included the suit on the picks.
Maybe we will 1 week.
You know, because I mean, just, I don't know. So much mini suit talk. All right, here we go. Let's bring my brother in. Welcome.
Hi.
He's there.
Ebo.
He's there.
How are you?
Still in the lead.
Yeah, but barely. I mean, I've really been throwing it out there the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's not good. But it's turned into a job.
It's turned into a job.
I
didn't mean to do that to you. I thought it was just going to be fun.
Well, no, it works out well for me. I tell my girlfriend I got to work.
That's an excuse.
In fact, Sunday, I'm working from 9 till midnight.
Yeah, because the Giants and Rams are playing at 9:30. Yeah.
I got to try that plan, but I think it's going to work for me.
Oh, I've done that for years. What a ruse.
Why do you think he does what he does, Sean?
Jig is up.
I'll get up Sunday morning and I'll start working on Purdue. What are you on? Working on Purdue.
I got to work. I got to do my homework, man. I got to think this out.
Well, Joe Paterno had 17 grandchildren. I asked him one time, I said, gee, when you have them all there, what's it like? And he says, Steve, I have an office.
A place to go.
Hey, yeah, one in his house. There
Steve,
you go.
Steve, regarding the suit and the picks, I've already gotten a text from the suit. He says I'm in.
I thought he was working.
I thought he was, too.
Well, but what's he doing listening to the show? What? He's in. He's in.
He's looking at our records and saying, I could beat them.
But the thing is, we'll have to expand this segment to an hour because he'll get so detailed.
Yeah.
Right? And then we'll all nod off and just like, we'll make picks.
Watch Judge Judy.
I mean, he'll go into so much detail. Right, that will be like the basketball team that has to play 28 seconds of defense, and the team finally puts up a shot, and we're so anxious to get the ball, we run down and we miss a shot right away. That would be us. All right, so let her rip. Get her done.
All right. Well,
get her done.
Let her rip.
Well, in the past 3 weeks, Steve, you have Kevin at one point had a 6-game lead, and you have trimmed it down to 3. You and I are tied, 30-25. Kevin currently sitting at 33-22. So let's get into the college action.
And on Facebook today, we had
Keith Wall.
A remark on, right, yeah. Saying they couldn't wait for the 4:35 picks.
Yep. Thank you, Keith. Big fan of yours, Kevin. Big fan.
Oh. People are now.
I got a fan here. Well, not a fan. He's my friend. He's listening today, Mike.
Oh, good. That doubles our rating.
So you're getting the stretch in your audience, though.
I mean,
Mike, the architect, Mike Wojcik.
He's a good friend and a
great architect, and he's listening today.
Mike, so. Thanks for doubling our ratings.
I'm out of friends, so. But I figure if he tells one, and then that guy tells one,
there you go.
Then we'll have 4 or 5.
There you go.
Well, before we dive into the SEC West matchups, and you got all the ranked teams playing against each other tomorrow, we'll go with the Big Ten matchup tomorrow. It is Wisconsin and Iowa. We'll let the leader lead off.
All right. Well, obviously, Wisconsin's a solid football team. They're coming off 2 tough losses against 2 top 5 teams, and they played them heads up. I mean, no shame there. Iowa, I have not been impressed by at all this year. I know North Dakota State's a great Division I team, the best in the country, but Iowa's got to win that game, and they lost. So I got Wisconsin by 14.
Wisconsin D, that front 7, absolutely nasty. Lights out. I'm taking whiskey.
Yeah.
In fact, this was on the TV show. This was my game to pick, and I picked Wisconsin. Same thing. I just think the defense is playing really well. Their running game is really solid. I know the game's at Kinnick, but Wisconsin will win it.
All right, as I mentioned a second ago, you have 3 games with all 6 ranked teams in the SEC West Division going after each other tomorrow, and the CBS game with Gary and Uncle Vern tomorrow at 3:30 will be Texas A&M and Alabama.
I mean, once again, you know, and every week Alabama's biggest test, and Texas A&M's great. Texas A&M can stretch the field. They've got the big play. That's really the only thing that can beat Alabama. And at first, I was going to go for the upset and take A&M. But Mike kind of talked me out of it.
Great, he's already influencing the show.
Not only is he
right?
a great architect, he's a good football mind. But there's other things that I looked at. I mean, there are 27 sacks in like 6 games. That's unheard of. They've got 11 touchdowns, non-offensive touchdowns.
Right.
That's unheard of. Alabama is just too balanced and too strong at areas that other teams don't even pay attention to. So I got Alabama by 14.
Number 1 run defense in the country, Alabama. Texas A&M run defense is 56th. Roll Tide.
Answers that.
And by the way, we're working on getting Uncle Vern maybe on the show late next week, right?
We're hoping, yep.
Okay. You guys know what I think. Alabama's Alabama until somebody beats them. Alabama.
Number 17, Arkansas will be at number 21, Auburn.
Oh, Arkansas screwed me all year. I pick them to win, they lose. I pick them to lose, they win. I think I got the whole thing figured out, and then I don't. So, Auburn's coming off a bye week, and I think that's the whole key. I think Arkansas has played a hellacious schedule. They played TCU, Texas A&M, Alabama, Ole Miss, all back to back to back to back to back, and now they're playing a team off a good team with a bye week. And I think the difference is that, and I got Auburn by 14.
Yeah, Brett Bielema said in his press conference earlier this week, half the games that he has coached as head coach of Arkansas have been against ranked teams. Gus Malzahn, 17-2 when favored at home. He's favored in this game. I've got Auburn.
Arkansas's played against tough competition and won all year. I don't like Auburn at all. Arkansas.
Ooh.
That was mean.
No, I don't like their team. I don't like, especially offensively. I don't think they're good enough offensively to win a big game.
Wow.
All right, one more in the SEC West. Ole Miss at LSU.
Another weird game. Yeah, automatically you're like, oh, Ole Miss will blow them out, you know. And then you look at it and you say, well, why, you know. Ole Miss struggled stopping the run, and LSU can absolutely run the game. They're getting Fournette back. He's been injured. New coach Ed Orgeron has the team playing well, playing real well. He's a good coach. They're playing inspired football with Leonard Fournette back. Ole Miss scores a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points. So I got LSU at home by 3.
Saturday, you know, we talk about the whiteout games at Beaver Stadium. Well, another amazing scene in college football. It's Saturday night in Death Valley. That happens tomorrow night. So just because of that fact, I'm taking the Tigers.
The best single unit on the field is the LSU defense. There's four units on the field. LSU is the single best unit in their defense. LSU wins the game.
All right, we go to the pros for Sunday. I got 3 1 o'clock games we're going to pick, then we go prime time. So first up will be the Redskins at the Detroit Lions.
Another weird game. This is a really even game. I mean, Washington's on a 4-game winning streak. Detroit's on a 2-game winning streak. They've won tight, but they've won. Stafford's played great. I think Cousins has turned the corner, and the way they ran the ball against Philly, I gotta say Washington's feeling it, and they'll win by 7.
Well, Matthew Stafford's hot right now. The Lions' defense is stepping up, too, at very important moments in their games lately. So on that note, I'm going Detroit.
The boss's favorite team happens to be the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I know where my bread is buttered. Washington.
Y'all ganging up on me. Eagle 107, Sunday, 1 o'clock. It is the Sam Bradford reunion back in Philly.
Yeah.
Vikings and Eagles.
Yeah, I think the book's out on Wentz, and he's going to be a great quarterback, but this is the NFL. And once they can watch some film on you, they'll start doing some things that upset you.
You are fried.
Yeah. And considering it's a Viking defense, I don't give Philly much of a chance in this game. I got Minnesota by 21.
At Vikings defense, they're giving up a league low 12.6 points a game, and Sam Bradford, 6 touchdowns and no picks so far this season. So we're taking the Vikes.
Well, I'll go back to what I said about LSU. There are 4 primary units on the field. I said LSU had the best single unit on the field, their defense. The Vikings have the best single unit on the field, their defense. They'll win.
Okay, our third 1 o'clock game we're picking for Sunday, Oakland and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No!
Another weird game. Oh, yeah, everyone's waiting to hear this one.
In fact, you know, as somebody who's broadcast a game in the Jacksonville Jags Stadium, not a bad stadium, by the way. I had a good time down there. But there,
a nice area.
Oh, it is. Oh, God, gorgeous area. Oh.
Yeah. Well, the big question, will the real Raiders show up? Can Del Rio keep this young team focused? Quarterback Karen Bortles, they come in same class, 2014 draft. It's kind of about them. Oakland's defense is its biggest problem. They gave up 440 yards last week. They tend to outscore the defense, but last week they couldn't. I think Oakland's offense is very good, and Jacksonville's defense is good. So that would be the difference. Oakland's just got an edge that their offense is better. So I got Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about West Coast teams traveling to the East time zone. They're not going to play well. The biological clock's telling them 10 a.m., but the Raiders are unbeaten on the road. Jacksonville has yet to win at home, and I'm going to take the Raiders.
Good reason. Wow.
Each of you picked the Raiders. I'm picking Jacksonville. Because if you had picked Jacksonville, I would have picked the Raiders. I've got to figure out a way to make up ground. So I'm going to go with my two main guys here. I'm going to go with my two main guys, Allen Robinson and Paul Posluszny. So I'll stick with my two. I'm going to stick with my two main guys, Robinson and Posluszny. I will root for them to win the game. I will not be a traitor. And I'll stick with the two old friends.
And the Sunday night 8:30 is Seattle and the Arizona Cardinals.
I hate Seattle. I'm telling you, the other pool I'm in, the one that pays money.
as opposed to this.
I'd have won that pool last week. I had Atlanta. And I watching Ryan go back to throw, and I watch frickin' Sherman tackle Julio Jones. He's holding both his arms down. Everybody in the world can see it, and there's no flag. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And it would have been a chip shot field goal, and Atlanta wins. So, that being said, I despise them. Sherman got schooled by Julio Jones. Sherman got me like a broken record. Sherman got Kevin, wake up. That being said, Seattle by 7.
He spends 5 minutes ripping the TV picks. He never once mentioned Arizona.
Oh, that's rich.
I didn't even write them down.
Seattle.
Is there a team in Arizona?
Oh, yeah. They do.
Oh, okay.
And they beat the Jets. You know. Seattle is...
It's like saying I beat the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Barons.
Hey. Arizona forced Geno Smith into the starting lineup for Big Gang Green, so... Well, Seattle has averaged 34 points in the past three meetings versus Arizona, and they have held the Cards to only 6 points in two of those wins. So I'm taking the Hawks.
Okay, so one picks a team even though he hates them. Another one uses all this analytics to pick the same team. All right, I just think Seattle's better than Arizona is. Seahawks.
Okay, we don't differ too much, which is good for me.
No. The two different ones I picked, I feel very good about.
Swing games are Oakland, Jacksonville for us, and Auburn, Arkansas in college. So
yes,
all right. Let the
known
games
to some
begin.
People, known to some people in the audience as Arkansas. All right.
Kevin, all right, be careful there. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. We need you back. We need you back next Friday when we go up to 3 listeners. Okay.
as soon as your buddy
Don't
Mike
make
and
me
Hart,
nervous.
as soon as your buddy Mike and Hartford tell somebody, we're counting on you, Mike.
Thanks, Kevo.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Every 41 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC.
Choose from over four city blocks of new Ford. See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. Trucktoberfest means savings up to 12 and a half grand on new F-150s. Every new F-150 at SMC will be equipped with a genuine Ford bedliner and a complimentary tonneau cover. Trucktoberfest means $4,000 off every 2017 Ford Escape, and they're priced as low as $20,880. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for up to 72 months is available.
Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Our thanks to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle, Kajana Carter, and my brother for all being on the show today. Hope it made the 2 hours go quickly for you as it did for us. It flew by for us today. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun all week. Paul Keels, Jack Hamm, Tim May. I mean, on and on we went with the guests this week. The guest list was long, and we felt rich. So...
Yeah, get to the podcast page at stevejonesshow.com. If you missed any of them live on WKOK, we've got them there.
And because I picked the boss's team and in a clutch move, I guess we're allowed back next week. Somebody almost tossed us off the rails by picking the other guy.
That was so 2 weeks ago.
Somebody has to save the show. I mean, look at the suit. Kept picking against the Redskins. Now he's doing digital media. Hey, Schickel and me at home tonight. Mike's got the call with the coach, Dick Hort. 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.